There we go.
That's why they send you to school.
Yes.
To learn things like that.
Okay. So, our first question. When you think of Eau Claire baseball, what memories come to your mind?
Oh, gosh. I think it's strong. Has been for years and years and years. You go back to... Well, I wish I'd brought the postcards I have. I have a brother who is unfortunately now deceased, but he... Basically, when his draft number came up for the Vietnam War, late 60s, joined the Navy and made a career out of it. Lived down in Florida when he wasn't shipping out. Spent, oh, good 10 years in Italy. But his hobby was collecting things Eau Claire, and especially baseball things Eau Claire. I mean, he wasn't as crazy as I am, but... He did send me, or I did get from my sister-in-law, a number of postcards that are Eau Claire baseball teams from late 1800s. They are so unique. It's just cool to see the fact that they had organized baseball. Well, yeah, I suppose it was organized baseball that would go around and they'd play. They'd play pickup teams in Augusta or Fall Creek, or they'd go even travel to La Crosse or places like that to play baseball. And it's been around since then. I think organized, and I may be wrong here, but I think as far as organized as on a professional level probably stems from the late 20s. And it's still going strong. Personally, I played from Little League baseball through Babe Ruth through high school. Went away to school. I was at McAllister in St. Paul. Didn't have a baseball team at the time. But after I got out of law school and came back to Eau Claire, used to go to the university's baseball games. You know, a nice Sunday afternoon just sitting in the stands watching the team play. Cavaliers have been around for years and years. My wife still gives them money to buy kids tickets to go see the games. We get to see. I'm going to forget their name. That's horrible. The semi-professional teams, the Express baseball games on a regular basis, and obviously I go see the Twins. So I think baseball's pretty strong in Eau Claire. It helps to have one of the, I think from an amateur standpoint, one of the best baseball fields around. You talk to anyone who's played baseball on an amateur basis and ask them about Carson Park, and it's a treat to play on. I had the opportunity in high school to play there. Heck. You talk to anybody who realizes that people like Hank Aaron and Joe Torre and Al Kaline and some of the superstars of baseball played on a field like Carson Park, and it's still being maintained, and it's still a gorgeous field. It's a real draw to folks to come in and be able to play on a field like that. So I think we've got deep roots, and I think we've got committed folks who will keep baseball strong in this area.
Okay. To what extent were you involved with baseball?
Well, as I said, from early on, from Little League on, it was a familial thing. My grandfather was extremely involved in baseball, and I've got stuff, if you want to see it, from his involvement. personally... I was involved, Little League was, I think there were two leagues when I was involved in the 60s. There was one in the north side of Eau Claire and there was one on the south side of Eau Claire. I think as far as the rest of my family, I know all of my brothers and there are three four males in the family. I feel bad for my mother for that. All played Little League baseball. All played Babe Ruth baseball. And I was the youngest of them. I think my father served as probably the official scorer for the league. I know my grandfather's company sponsored teams both in Little League and in Babe Ruth. Then played in high school through those years. And after coming back to Eau Claire, I guess my next involvement was probably when I was on the city council, and then when I became president of the city council, really looking at the rebuilding of Carson Park. Now, the field itself was fine. Especially the locker room areas, the structure of the park, the stands and the like, were in horrible condition. We had many, many looks at bringing minor league baseball to Eau Claire. The Express doesn't officially qualify as minor league baseball, but City Council has had offers at many times to sponsor minor league teams. It was a tough question. Even the Express was a tough question when I was with the council, because the Cavaliers have such a long history in Eau Claire, and do you want to bring another team in that's going to, you know, really push the dollar that people have to spend to come to see baseball games? So that was also an interest when I was on city council, and then I got involved in the Eau Claire Baseball History Committee, dealing with those folks, working on the tribute to my grandfather, and working for a year after that, and been pretty involved.
Do you want to ask your question?
I guess, because how we, learned about, how involved your grandfather was with baseball, did he ever, tell you any interesting stories of famous players that came through?
Oh, gosh. I'm jealous of my older brothers because they used to go to games with him. He started out, and if you want, he published a book, a pamphlet, as it were, about the history of the Northern League. Now, I know the Baseball History Committee has a copy of the pamphlet. What I have is actually his rough draft of what he put out as pamphlet. I mean, this has spelling errors and grammatical errors and everything. This is basically what they typed up. It's a little teeny thing. It's 16 typewritten pages. You are welcome to borrow it and look at it if you'd like. Just bring it back when you're done. The pamphlet was about this size. I mean, it's not any different than that. His involvement, boy, I don't know that you've got this one. I think it was late 20s, early 30s. Eau Claire had a baseball team, and it was failing miserably. They had gotten to, it may have been, I may be getting this wrong. It's explained in there, and I didn't reread it today before you came in. They had gotten to probably the first third of the season, and they didn't have enough money. They'd gone a number of days without even paying the players that they'd hired for the team. There was some question whether people were running off of the gate receipts, neither here nor there, but they just didn't have the money. They weren't drawing the people. They turned to my grandfather, who owned at that time the business called White Machine Works. They made pistons and piston rings for automobiles and the like. And said, "Herman, we need you to step in." He was real big in the business community, and he was actually the first president of the city council. So very involved in the community, and said, "We need you to come in and save this, you know, salvage this operation." He took a look at the baseball operation and said, "We need to keep it open because 4th of July is coming up, and 4th of July traditionally were their biggest draw dates. They were also going out of town to a couple of cities that the teams always split gates with the visiting teams or the home teams. So he thought, here's an opportunity to make some money. At least we'll play through those dates and get enough money to pay the players, because it had been days since they'd been paid. And these are, you know, you got to remember in those days, these guys did this for fun, but also for pay. They'd work a day job. They'd play baseball at night. So that was the whole idea. They'd at least stick it out that long so they could get enough money to pay these guys. They got through that period, and while they were doing that, Herman went out to local business people and leaned on them, shall we say, said, "I need your support. We need money. We need to keep this going for the good of the city of Eau Claire." And basically drummed up enough support, financial and otherwise, to keep the team going through the end of the season. And then started laying the plans to keep them going for another season. And got the support of the business people and the community, and they said, "We'll do it if you'll become president of the team." So he took the team over for a few years, and got the team up and financially stable, brought in some good players, really improved the quality of baseball in Eau Claire in the 30s. And his success really was noticed by the other teams. They played in what was then the Northern League. Now, the Express play in the Northern League, but back then it was a minor league system. They had four classes of the minors then. A was the closest to the major leagues, and then there was B, C, and D, and Eau Claire was a D league. So it was kids who, well, maybe had a chance to rise through the major, through the minors to get to the major leagues, but you know, not much of a chance. You know, not many minor league players actually make it. He worked with the team, improved the team. The other owners of the Northern League saw this and said, "You know, you're wasting your talent as a president of Eau Claire. We want you to become president of the Northern League." So he did. And really started taking on more duties. I don't know whether he got paid to be president or not. It was just basically a lot of work. In addition to being president, he became the official scorer for the league, which official scorer meant you, for him, it meant you subscribed to the papers in Fargo, Moorhead, and Thunder Bay, and Superior, and Duluth, because you'd get the daily paper a couple days late, and they'd have the baseball box score in the paper. And as official scorer, you'd rely on that box score to write down the at-bats and the hits and the errors. I mean, if they were wrong, you were wrong. But that was what the official scorer did. He used the newspapers to record all this information. I was saddened, just an aside, after my grandmother and grandfather lived right across from the university, right across from Care Theater. after the my grandmother died. My grandfather was first 76, I think. When my grandmother died in 80, I went over to their house about 4 days later. My aunt had already filled one dumpster full of things and had it hauled away. And I could have screamed, being the collector that I am. God knows what she threw away. I mean, I know some of the things she threw away. One was a personal telegram from Henry Aaron thanking Herman when Henry came to Eau Claire and was so welcomed by the city and played in Eau Claire for the period, the short period that he did. But, you know, there it went. It's in the dump somewhere now. Anyway, the other things that were thrown out were all of the official score things that he did for the Northern League while he was the official scorer and president. He had such success with the Northern League that the major leagues took notice and moved that league up from a Class D league to a Class C league. So now their players are now even one step closer to becoming major leaguers, which is why when the Milwaukee Braves, for example, drafted folks like Henry Aaron and Joe Torre and Billy Adair and Pafko and former soon-to-be major leaguers, they start them in places like Eau Claire and things like that, because C was a good place to start those guys. Well, it was taken notice of by other leagues, and soon the Wisconsin State League, which was down in Madison, Kenosha, Janesville, I think, a couple cities down in Illinois said, we really need someone like that to take over our league. So in addition to being president of the Northern League, he also became president of the Wisconsin State League. And doing that, he then got himself involved nationally with the National Association, NAPBL, National Association of Professional Baseball Leagues. It's the NAPBL runs the minor leagues, basically, all across the country. And he got to know the guys who were in that that group, and eventually became, there were three members, a president and two executive committee members, who ran the whole minor league system, and Herman was one of those three. Never rose to president of the organization, but sat on the executive committee for years and years and years. So he really moved up from basically saving an Eau Claire baseball team to running the whole minor league system after a number of years. I mean, this, it just opened up such avenues. I remember stories my folks telling of the opportunity to go when the Milwaukee Braves were in the World Series in 57 and 58. He just had tickets. So they'd dump us with somebody, and they'd take off from Milwaukee and go watch the World Series, every game that was played in Milwaukee. He had, and I'll show you. He had, I have such great old pictures. A lot of them I've given away again to the History Committee and others. Some of them are, won't mean a whole hell of a lot. That's Herman. By the time I knew Herman, he could scare the bejabbers out of you. He was just a scary-looking guy. Let me find something that will make some sense. The opportunities it opened up, anyway, is he went to so many World Series all across the country. I had in my collection for years... they would give out pins, lapel pins, to the press. They still do. They, each club produces a press pin that they hand out to the press for the two clubs that are in the World Series. And he had them back to the 1930s, all the way up to the 1960s. Letter, for example, names won't mean much to you, but it's written by the secretary of the league, but this gentleman, Warren Giles, was president of the International League at that time. They were in New York, Albany, Buffalo, Newark, New Jersey, Syracuse. Warren Giles eventually became president of the entire National League for the majors. George Troutman, when I talked to you about the National Association of Professional Baseball Leagues, which rules the whole minor league system, George Troutman, who sent him this letter, was the president of that when Herman was the one on the executive committee. I don't remember who the gentleman is, but this is just an example. They'd have their, Cincinnati was in the World Series that year, and they would hand out, they would have big dinners for all the presidents of the different minor league, minor leagues, and he would attend these things. But as I was saying, opportunities, this for example... Okay, Herman's hiding in there somewhere. That's a picture from Havana, Cuba. Because he would go down every year. I know there's another one somewhere. Anyway, he would go down for the South American World Series every year. And then one year it'd be in Venezuela, one year it'd be in Cuba, one year it'd be in some other South American or Central American city. This is another one. This is the executive committee plus their secretary. And they were down in Cuba for the World Series that year. I just can't imagine trotting all over the globe to South America, to Cuba, to visit with these folks. The prize picture, I couldn't find it, I apologize. The prize picture I have is, you may have heard about the Black Sox scandal when the Chicago White Sox sold the World Series, supposedly. I have a picture, and it's a long picture. It's probably like this long by this, so it's a panoramic. of one of the national conventions the minor leagues had, the NAPBL had, and sitting right in the middle is Kennesaw Mountain Landis, who is the commissioner, baseball commissioner they hired to clean up baseball after the Black Sox scandal. This one is 1931, 36, I can't remember. Anyway, when they opened Cooperstown for the first time. So he's standing there with the other executive committee members and the commissioner of baseball. And, you know, how cool is all of this stuff? Finally, they kicked him out. I don't know why. And the letters from Ford Frick. Ford Frick was the commissioner of baseball for many, many years. And it just says he's sorry to hear that he's not going to be on the executive committee any longer. Can't figure out why. But as commissioner of Major League, he doesn't have any influence over the minor leagues. The other one I just found the other day was, and this is cool, I don't know the year. It's Carson Park.
Oh, wow.
And I'm guessing it's 40s, maybe 50s. I've got a million pictures. The problem is I don't know enough people alive anymore who know. I mean, who can look at this picture other than me and say, that's George Troutman, that's the only one I recognize in that picture, or can look at this picture. That's the most influential people in baseball in probably the 1940s, and I can identify two people only because I know my grandfather's history. There aren't many people alive anymore. This is 70 years ago. That can identify those folks. I got to sit down one day with, I'm going to forget his name. He was the Detroit Tigers announcer for years and years and years and years. He came to do a Tigers game in the Twin Cities, and a good friend of mine was born and raised in Detroit. Ah, this is horrible. So it happens when you get old, your memory goes. And I brought these pictures along, and he just sat. He was in seventh heaven. He just sat there, and he said, I know this person and this person and this person and this person. He just died a couple of years ago. But so I've decided basically what I've got to do is I've got to send these things to Cooperstown and say, you know, can someone else identify all these people? You know, put them in your archives, because I know what's going to happen. I'm going to die. My kids are going to look at these things and say, why did he keep this stuff? Might as well have it in the Hall of Fame instead of sitting in my drawers. So basically that was Herman, the man. I told my grandmother, and it wasn't just baseball. It was community involvement. He besides being in the city council for 7-8 years, he was the first board of directors for the foundation for Luther Hospital, and as soon as that got up and running, much to their dismay, he then started the foundation at Sacred Heart Hospital. He did so many different things, and at his funeral, I walked up to my grandmother and said, if I could accomplish half of what Herman did in my lifetime, I would consider myself a success. And she, without smiling, said, good, maybe you'll be home twice as much as he was. And when I asked my father about it, he said, she meant it too. That's, I guess, the cost of accomplishing what he accomplished in his lifetime. He used to go to Saturday games with my older brothers. This is why I said I was jealous earlier. And he didn't sit in an owner's box at Carson Park. He sat down the third baseline. And he'd send my brothers off chasing foul balls because he was so cheap. He didn't want them to get lost or someone to run away with them. He'd have them go fetch the balls and bring them back to the game because, darn it, they cost 75 cents or something like that. He used to tell stories about the trips, especially, I think the longest one for them was Eau Claire to Fargo, North Dakota. And they'd have to, the roads were so bad in those days. Remember, we're talking the 40s. We're not talking I-94 or I-90 or anything like that. They'd drive. One of the vehicles they had in Eau Claire was a converted hearse. They converted it so they could put three rows of seats in and seat more players. Station wagons, they really had wood sides in those days. Whatever they could do to haul as many players as possible. And they'd drag a trailer behind one of the cars to carry not only all of the team's equipment, but as he told me, they also had a set of tires in there because the roads were so bad that they would beat up a set of tires on the trip, and they'd have to change tires somewhere along the way because they'd be sure to get a flat. Later on, they started using buses. There's a whole set of stories that I donated to. It's one of the city's museums. The Duluth Dukes had a team. They were on a bus trip, and the bus was in an absolutely horrific accident. I think they lost 20 players, 17 players in the bus accident. You know, it was not an easy life for these guys, traveling by car for 14 hours so they could play a game the next day. I wouldn't have wanted it. I mean, talk to the guys that are in the minor leagues now. In modern travel now is still a bus, and they're still taking 8-10 hour bus rides. But at least they weren't driving in a converted hearse with a trailer in the back, and they'd have to get out and change the tires every once in a while. He was a colorful man, to say the least. There's no question about it. To the day of my father's death, he never really enjoyed baseball. And I think that was partly because he got dragged to so much baseball. And because he didn't get to see his father as much as he would have liked because of baseball. Sort of a sad commentary. But I'll tell you, he never missed a baseball game I ever participated in, or a softball game, or anything. He came to every single one of them. Interesting family, to say the least.
Yeah.
Like how we learned about, like, the signing of African-American players, like Hank Aaron, was there, do you know of if there was any huge controversy in Eau Claire of that happening?
It didn't appear to be. You know, I've read Hank's book, If I Had a Hammer, and he doesn't say anything about any huge controversy in Eau Claire, anyway. Tommy Aaron was also up here, his younger brother. I'm sure there were people in Eau Claire who didn't appreciate it, but I think they basically kept it to themselves. And that's, you know, on the road, maybe there was, but I don't think there was a big problem in Eau Claire. At least the telegram, and the one that I lost that was in the dump somewhere, I did see it a number of times when my grandparents were still alive. I remember the it seemed sincere anyway, the thanks that Hank expressed and how welcome he felt in Eau Claire. You know, that's unfortunate. The North, as you will hear, the discrimination is more outward in the South than it is in the North. It's more hidden up here. There's no doubt about that. But at least, I don't think it was outwardly expressed in Eau Claire. I may be wrong, but I don't think Hank got it much.
Oh, that's so my turn. like, we read in the book, Summer Up North, that there was, like, a folding of the Northern League baseball. Do you know how your grandfather may have reacted to that?
I think he was gone by then. Okay. I'm pretty sure he was done with the Northern League by that time. I'm almost positive of that. I know he stuck with the Northern League when he was serving on the executive committee for the NAPBL. And I'm pretty sure he stuck with the Midwest League down in the Madison area also. But I think... there came a time in some of the scrapbooks I have, they honored him. There's a picture in there. They honored him. They gave him a Mr. Baseball Award, and I still have the big bat and the plaque and things that they handed to him. I think that was his official retirement. If I'm remembering correctly, and I'm not sure I am, I think the Northern League folded in the 60s. Do you know? Offhand?
That caught my head because I think some of the sources I was looking online had different dates. So.
White remained as president until the close of the 57th season when Peter Bradbury of Aberdeen was elected, but White was back for the 60 and 61 seasons, and then Brooks Brokel of Grand Forks was elected. Doesn't tell me when it closed, of course, but my guess is after the 61 season. I thought it was after 61, so... He was done in 61, and I think it closed shortly thereafter. I may be wrong. Transportation. It's a fun article. As I said, with its typos and its grammatical errors, but hey, it's a fun read.
I guess we could end with, what is, like, your favorite story that your grandfather ever told you about baseball?
Oh, boy.
I know he told a lot, but...
He was full of stories. Oh, my. Favorite story about baseball. I guess it wasn't a story as much as it was... I was there. I went to school at that time it was campus school, then became park school, and then where my kids went, and then of course now the university is taking it over, the building attached to Care Theater.
Yep.
That's where I went to school. I could tell you stories about that. And then, since my grandparents lived two houses away from the school, why would I go home? I went over to their house because my grandmother spoiled me chili. I remember sitting one day, my grandfather was, we were sitting in the kitchen. He was listening to a Twins game on the radio. I don't know, my grandmother had plied me with cookies and milk or something like that. So I was maybe seven. And Halsey Hall was the Twins announcer for years and years and years. And Halsey Hall, in the middle of his broadcast, said, you know, I have very sad news to report. I heard today of the passing of Herman White. And he says, Herman was a great baseball man, and it really saddens me to have to let all you baseball fans know that Herman passed today, and he was great for baseball in the Midwest. Well, I'm sitting with him. We're sitting at the kitchen table. Herman says, well, that son of a bitch. Herman was not very good with his words. I mean, I can hear my grandmother screaming in the other room, Herman, you can't say that. Well, he went on with a few more choice swear words. And then proceeds to tell me, a seven-year-old, stories about what a drunk Halsey Hall was and how he used to have to pick him up off the floor or pick him up out of a chair somewhere at these conventions that they would attend and carry him back to his hotel room because Halsey couldn't manage to do it by himself. And that's probably my favorite Herman story. When they announced on the radio that he was dead and I was sitting right next to him while he was playing cards and listening to a baseball game. It was pretty bizarre hearing my grandfather swear and tell stories about a drunk. It's a pretty strange story. That was Herman, though. He was a gruff SOB. Anything else?
I do feel like baseball is still like a huge pastime in this area, because I know we don't have a college baseball team.
Yeah, and that was a big mistake. It was funny. We loved, and I say we, my wife and I, loved to go to, as I said, Sunday afternoon baseball games. They didn't have a great following. Half of the students I saw out there were there because the sun was shining. I don't remember seeing that many hangovers in a long time. I mean, they were trying to sweat out whatever they'd had to drink on Saturday nights. But they were there. Mm-hmm. I was friends with the coach at the time, which is another reason I was there. But it was just local baseball. And it wasn't people who were playing for money, and it wasn't people who were playing for, you know, advancement. You know, the Express, they don't have any contracts with anybody, but they're definitely looking to impress and get some. These are college players who are... I had an opportunity to go watch Cape Cod League games. My wife, her family, used to own a place on Cape Cod. So when we were there in the summer for vacations, I would go watch Cape Cod League games. And, oh, I got to watch Chuck Knobloch before he became a star in the majors. And I got to watch, I can't remember his name now, he was a top home run hitter for the White Sox for years and years and years. And you knew you were watching future major leaguers. Well, that's basically what the Express's league is all about, giving these college kids an opportunity to show off their skills to get to the minors and majors. UWEC baseball wasn't that way. These were guys who played the game because they loved to play the game. And was it the crispest baseball in the world? I don't think so. But God, they were having fun. And I always thought that's what college was all about. You know, you're not... I love the commercials on television where you see the woman who plays volleyball for Purdue saying, I'm majoring in something else, but, you know, she plays for Purdue because she enjoys playing volleyball or whatever it might be. That's what these guys were doing. And I think the college did a real disservice by getting rid of the baseball team. I think they should bring it back. But it costs money. I understand their mission is to provide an education. But it scares me just like it scares the loss of music in their public schools. You know, life isn't just math and English. God, if I didn't have fun in college, I would have dropped out so fast. You gotta have that fun stuff, too. You really do. I mean, ask the basketball players or the volleyball players or the wrestlers if that isn't one. I know what kept me in college. It was music. I wasn't a music major. But it's what kept me there. When classes were just a drag, I had to have something that kept me coming back, and it was music. Not everybody's wired that way, but baseball could do it for some of them.
I think that answers all of our questions.
I don't mean to be so wordy, but
that's all right.
I've got a lot of opinions about it.
Interesting story.
Yes, it was interesting.
Get a, I don't know, a close personal aspect of it instead of reading it out of a book.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There are so many people that I don't know who all is being interviewed for this. I assume there are a number of local folks that are doing, but... There are so many great stories, ex-players, and I can think Dick Bezanson, whose father took over for Herman when Herman left the team and went national. His father did the work, and as I said, someone should get to the Boquette family and you know what it's really like to play in the major leagues, and just some great... This history committee, we get less when I was attending... And unfortunately, my real job, I'm a bankruptcy trustee. I hear all the bankruptcy cases that are filed. Only 1,300 of them this year, which is way down from where it used to be. But my hearings are on Mondays, and their meetings are on Mondays at noon. So I can't get to their meetings anymore. But these guys, the problem with our meetings is we do more talking, telling stories, than we do meeting. Because they got some great stories to tell. Mine is all secondhand. I always tell my older brothers, you know, you guys would be better at this stuff than I would, because you went to games with them. You spent more time with them. I hardly knew my grandfather. I learned more about him after I came back to Eau Claire, and people would stop me and say, oh, you should hear this story. Oh, you should know this about your grandfather. Because, you know, other than the little stories I can tell you, like the one about Halsey Hall saying he was dead, heck, he was an old guy by the time I was growing up. It's one of those things I regret, and everyone should do with their grandparents. You should sit down with them and make them tell you stories about growing up. My daughter did it with her grandparents, and she's got some great letters and great stories. Then you don't have to go back and spend all the money on genealogy, because you've already learned it all.
Yeah.
It's great stuff. So it'll be an interesting project, I think, for the whole class.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to borrow that, you're more than welcome to it.
Okay.
It's got all kinds of information. If not, I certainly understand. It's not that big a deal.
Okay.